I'm going to read a passage from Psalm 118 and share just a few thoughts tonight from Psalm 118. If you have a Bible with you, if you have a phone that happens to have the Bible on it, just turn there, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 16 here in just a moment. And this is what I just want to talk about for a few minutes tonight. One of the ways that I believe that we can learn from each other as a congregation is for us to learn how to seek refuge together. We just saw a passage that said that compared each and every Christian to a foreigner or an alien. That's true of all of us. I think some of us feel it in our human lives more acutely than others. Maybe somebody who's brand new to St. Louis feels a little more out of place. But the truth is, as Christians, we're always feeling out of place. And the truth is also, as Christians, we're always called to seek refuge, to take cover, not in what this world suggests provides protection, but in the Lord. When I was in the military, there was a distinction between concealment and cover. And maybe you learned it in the Boy Scouts or something too, so it's just not maybe a military term. But what do you think the difference is between concealment and cover? I'll ask a question, then we'll have a quick pop quiz in a second. But concealment and cover. What's the difference between concealment and cover? We're going to be here for a while if you guys don't talk. Protection versus what? Being hidden, right, yeah. So concealment, I mean, both are important. If someone's trying to do something bad to you, you want to have both. But concealment would be like, let's see. This would be concealment. Okay? It's concealment. This would be cover, right? I'm all the way back here. Concealment is what you do when you want to make sure no one can see you. Cover is what you do when you want to make sure no one can hurt you. And Psalm 118 makes that distinction as well. It says the world has lots of ways to offer concealment from your problems and your distress. But it's only the Lord who provides cover. So listen to how the psalmist puts it. Actually, I'll begin with verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Sure, let's do it. Let the house of Aaron say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord say,
his steadfast love endures forever.
Okay, and then listen to this personal testimony the psalmist gives us. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look and triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in presidents. I'm sorry, princes. Sorry. Slip of the tongue. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. Now, we don't know exactly what distress the psalmist is talking about, but we get a couple clues, don't we? Verse 5 just tells us simply, out of my distress. It could be out of my anxiety, out of my stressful situation, out of my overly active imagination. We don't know what it was. And yet, you read a little further in verse 6 and you figure out, well, maybe this distress is something we can relate to. He says in verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? It suggests that the distress is the result of someone coming after him. The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look and triumph on those who hate me. Again, someone is trying to inflict harm on him in some way. It gets more specific in verse 10. They surrounded me. They surrounded me. They surrounded me, he says, like bees, like a fire among thorns. That's how this man felt, how the psalmist felt at the hands of his enemies. And I think it's important for us to realize that when the psalmist is talking about distress, in some ways it is fill in the blank. You can fill in your own distress. But there are sometimes the problem he's talking about is so specific, we need to remember that we too find ourselves in these situations. Some of us have known very personally and in a profound way people attacking us, seeking our harm. Real people with real intent to do real harm. Some of you know more about that in this room than others. And yet all of us know this kind of distress. All of us have been on the receiving end of people doing bad things to us. I'm sure Gray's feeling that way right about now. People have been betrayed. Some of us have been betrayed by family members, by friends, even church members. I hate to say it, but sometimes even within the church, relationships feel more like a beehive of conflict than a place of support and care. Even in a church, sometimes we can gossip and rumors and hurtful words can spread like a fire through the congregation. We know this. We've been on the receiving end of this. And the question the psalmist, the simple question the psalmist wants to ask us tonight in light of that common distress is, where are you seeking refuge? Where are you taking cover? And the reason I ask that question is because I feel like, if I can just speak for myself, I'm really good at finding concealment from my distress. I'm good at hiding. I'm not so good at taking cover in the Lord. Verse 8 gives us some options and maybe some popular options for us. When we're under distress, where do we run? Well, we have some options. Verse 8, some people trust in man. That is to say, some people, when they're under distress, go find the closest person who can make them feel better about themselves. Let me go find somebody who can tell me how great I am and how wrong everyone else is. I love those people who always agree, yeah, you're entirely right. What were they thinking? I feel better about myself immediately. It's one way, one place you can run. Another place you can run, in verse 9, you can run to princes, those who have power, those who can do things for you, those who can get you out of a jam and make you feel much better about the situation. And yet, what do verses 8 and 9 say? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is a good thing to have friends in your corner. It is a better thing to have the Lord of heaven and earth in your corner. Amen? It's a good thing. It's a good thing for you to have a spouse to support you and to tell you that he or she loves you and is there for you. It is an even better thing to have the Lord of heaven and earth tell you, I love you. You belong to me. It's a good thing to have your boss on your side. It's an even better thing to have the Lord of heaven and earth on your side. Verse 6, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And the reason it's better to have the Lord as your refuge is because the Lord's opinion of you doesn't shift. He isn't fickle like people are fickle. His love for you is constant. His opinion of you is fixed because his opinion of you is grounded in the finished work of Christ on your behalf. Your righteousness is yours. No one can take it away. And it's the very righteousness of Christ. That's why it's better. It's a refuge par excellence. And we need to remember that because, again, if you're anything like me, you know where you run when you're feeling distressed. There are well-worn paths between your stress and some refuge, between where you feel pressure and where you run to hide. We all know where we go. It's different for each one of us, but probably many things in common. And yet let's remember together the experience of every Christian. Every one of us is to flee for refuge in the Lord. How do you know? How do you know that that's what you're doing? Well, the psalmist tells us it's because those who flee to the Lord for refuge are those who find their joy in him. The culminating verse of this section is verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. Such a wonderful image. My strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. You're walking down the street and you hear happy music coming from a tent or coming from a church or coming from a house. Where is that music coming from? the happy music, the joyful music. It's coming from the tents of the righteous. If we can put a little gospel glaze on this for a moment, it's coming from those who know that their righteousness is not found in themselves, but in the one who gave himself for us. His perfect righteousness belongs to us. We are now brought into his family as sons and daughters. And this is the refuge that you and I have available to us moment by moment. And the passion of the psalmist is to say to the people of God, flee to the Lord for refuge. Let me encourage us, New City and Covenant Church, let's not trust in men. Let's not trust in princes. Let's not trust in success. Let's not trust in pleasure or comfort or anything else that lures us into concealment but never cover. Let's take cover in the only place that provides it, in the Lord himself. Let me pray for us. Father, we do thank you that you are our strength and our song, that you are our salvation and our refuge and our rock. Help us, Lord, to trust in you above all else, for you are worthy of our trust. And we ask this all in the strong name of Christ, and God's people said together, amen. Amen.